Hello and welcome to episode 9 of The Entrepreneur Experiment. I'm Gary Fox. This week I have a fascinating chat for you with James Murphy, the founder of Zest Fitness Dublin and now the founder of Beatbox Dublin. James is a fitness entrepreneur with over 16 years experience and he's just a really frank, honest guy. There's really no messing around with James. He gets straight to the point and reveals what it actually takes to be a successful entrepreneur in the fitness industry. I really enjoyed this chat. I hope you do too.
James, welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment.
Thanks,
take
Gary.
Two.
Thanks, Gary. Good to be in my office. Good
James,
to be here.
James' phone went off after like 10 seconds of the previous.
Google, bloody Google.
So James, who are you and why am I sitting in your office?
You're sitting in my office because I'm assuming you're stuck for people who you can't interview.
It was a quiet week.
Yeah, it's quite a week. I'm James. I own Zest Fitness in Ballsbridge. It's a personal training studio. Well, formerly personal training, now it's a class studio. And a beatbox on Leeson Street, a boxing experience. I'm not going to say a boxing gym. I'm going to say a boxing experience because I'm really pushing the whole experience thing.
Experiences over possessions.
Yeah.
Access over ownership.
Exactly.
Cool. So the 6 stages of the entrepreneur experiment are idea generation, idea prototyping, idea testing, launch, testing and analysis, and then the final stage, failing, scaling, or selling. So we'll run through, where did you get the idea for your personal training gym? So we'll start with Zest.
I'm personal training people now 16 years, and I'm in the gym here in Ballsbridge in 6 years. So yeah, here 6 years this April. I used to work in Bendon. I started up in Bendon gym, and I was kind of managing, I was like initially the cleaner. So I kind of worked my way up. It's like a real rags to riches story, isn't it? It's like working my way up. And then I became a fitness instructor, and then I became a personal trainer, and then I became the manager of the gym itself. So I was like the duty manager looking after the members in the gym and the booking system and the payments and all that kind of stuff. And then from working in Bendon, I kind of realized, wait a minute, Ben doesn't give a crap about any of his members and it's purely about money. So I was like, I actually need to get out of here. So I always wanted to have my own studio. And when I got redundancy money, when I was actually, away in Thailand modeling at the time, whatever, don't want to talk about
we'll come back.
Whatever, I won't bring it up. And I remember I got a call from my boss and he's like, there's redundancies. So I was working in Quinn Insurance at the time. So I got loads of money. And I was like, there's no better time to start my own business. Started my own personal training studio and it was great. That's where I am now. 6 years here.
Okay, so you used redundancy money to pay for that.
Yeah.
That's quite a gutsy move though to spend all the money.
Well, it was a recession at the time as well. And I remember my mom and dad turned around to me going, don't do it. Don't spend your money. Get a job. And I had belief in myself. And I was like, I can only work in a job where, and don't get me wrong, the money insurance was great. But then loads of regulation came in, so it wasn't so good. And I was like, I hate being told I can only make like 3, 4, 5 grand a month. I just hate that idea of being limited. So that's why I was like, I want to make like 100 grand, 200 grand, 300 grand. And the most I've ever made in a year was probably like nearly 250,000. And it's like, I love that. I love the ability that if you're willing to work for it, it's real American, but if you're willing to work for it, that you can do things. But it all falls back on you. Mm. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You can't pay bills 1 month, you know, you dip into your savings, you make loads of money. Well done to you, but I love that feeling.
It's refreshing to hear that though. So many Irish people are very hesitant. It's an almost a taboo topic to talk about money. You've always been quite open about that though. So how did you...
Money's nothing at the end of the day though. Money doesn't make you happy. It just means you can like do certain things or buy a car or do cool experiences. But it's like the things that are going to make you happy is like having a kid, having a girlfriend... Like the things that people think make you happy aren't going to make you happy. Having a nice body, having a car, that's all bullshit.
But do you realize that after you have it? Do you only realize that after you have it?
You realize if you, I think you, we want these things in our lives. Like I've never had a Ferrari or whatever. I'd say it'd be pretty nice to have a Ferrari. But if someone's like, oh, it's my dream to have a Ferrari. I'm like, your dream is to have a 100 grand car? Seriously, that's like the stupidest goal I've ever heard in my life.
What's your goal?
Like, my goal is to be happy. My goal was to come into a job every day, not necessarily work the hours I'm doing because I'm pretty tired the whole time, but to have trainers here who are good, bouncing in and out of the place, make enough money that I can keep everything going, choose to go on holiday when I want, which I can do at the moment anyway. I get to go home and spend time with a girlfriend, which I love. I get to live by my own rules. That's what it's about. No one tells me what to do. Yeah, it's great. That's the best thing you can do is living by your own rules.
When... did you decide to work for yourself? I know the redundancy came, but why? What was the fitness angle? Were you already working as a fitness
trainer? Yeah, I was doing boot camps in the morning. So I used to do boot camps in the morning for my work and some personal training. It was sneaky because I wasn't meant to be doing it in bed at the time. So I was getting cash. I was doing getting a bit of cash money,
cash
doing
king.
Some PT. And then I used to go into work and do my kind of 9-to-5 job. And I used to do boot camps after. I had like a boot camp company called Spartan Training and Fitness. And that was like, I set that up with my friend. And that was like 8-9 years ago. So yeah, I always wanted to do fitness. I had an idea of what I wanted to do. I'm like a people person. I like working with people. And yeah, it's what I always wanted to do. A lot of people don't know what they want to do. When you chat to me, I get 40-year-olds in here and they're like, yeah, I like my job, but you know, it's like, it's not exactly what I want to do. I know exactly what I want to do. Mm. I'm happy about that.
That's so rare to hear someone say that.
But it comes down from self-analysis as well, you know. I know what I don't want, and I also know what I want. I'm real focused on what I want.
I think it's harder to actually admit that to yourself. Yeah. No one wants to look at their life and go, oh, I actually hate what I'm doing. I hate where I am.
Yeah.
It's just easier to go with the flow. Go with your 9-to-5. Go with your 40 grand a year and just think that that's happiness.
Yeah. Even just the money side of it, I couldn't. It's not that I find it hard to take management or criticism from other people. It's like I can, but it's like I don't want to. I've had a lot of moron bosses. I've had a lot of moron bosses, and you're kind of sitting there going, how are you my boss? And I'm doing stupid stuff for the sake of doing stupid stuff and taking boxes for the sake of taking boxes and doing stupid work. Like, you know, I remember my old job, we used to have a process where it was like A to Z, and it was like, you need to do this, 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 and this. I'm like, why don't we just cut this out and add this instead? Save time, more productive, and it's kind of more streamlined and everything's easier. Oh, no, it's not the way we do it here. It's like, and that drives me crazy because everything should be streamlined and as efficient as possible. There's no option, there's no reason to have something which is like highfalutin. There's just not. And the amount of times where I had to go into meetings and explain stuff and you're told to do something, you're doing it, going, why am I doing this? It's so stupid, it doesn't make any sense. But you had to do it because you were like, someone else was paying you.
This is how we've always done it, those magic
words. This is the way we've always done it. Decision made by some 90-year-old lad up in an office who's always been there, who has his family's money, who doesn't give a shit about the business. And it's like, the reality is the people who are doing it day to day know what to do and they've got good ideas and they're going to like show you how to get rid of crap and bring good stuff in and streamline processes. And it's like look at the likes of Ryanair, the likes of Michael O'Leary. It's like, he's a pioneer in what he does. Like, he's literally changed the way people fly. It's like, now they're looking at the environmental side of it, and I'm sure he'll probably turn in and change that as well and do something really, really revolutionary. But it's like, he's really, at a time when it was really expensive to fly, he went in and changed the game. And it's like, we can do that in Dublin, we just aren't asking the right questions or getting the information from the right people.
So your idea generation was, you were already working in the business.
Yeah.
You kind of knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You didn't really do stage two really with idea prototyping, or was your initial boot camp your first prototype to work
out
the gym model?
It was. I got people down to Herbert Park, Fairview Park. Used to get people in, do like circuit type format. It was really, really fun, but there was not a lot of money in it. And then I was like, I want to just go for the juggler. I'm going to go to Balls Bridge. I'm going to set up something which is expensive, personal training, and I'm going to make it like an expensive product. Yeah.
So you picked, so we'll jump on to stage three, which is idea testing then. Mm. You picked probably the most expensive area in Dublin for your first business.
They've got money. People living in Balls Bridge have money. It's like, you know, you're not going to, you want to go sell Ferraris. You're not going to go and set up a Ferrari showroom down in fucking, you know, I'm not going to mention a poor area.
I was going
to
say
but you don't. You need to know your audience. You need to know your avatar and who you want to sell to. And there's nobody racing Balls Bridge Dublin for, you know.
Is there a flip side of that then, though, in that fact? It was probably very expensive to set up here, was it?
Not really, because I got a good deal. It was in a recession. So I got one room and then expanded into a second room and then got up like nearly a whole building and then got a chance to buy Leeson Street at a good price. So it's kind of like, I never took loans out. Everything I bought myself, which is kind of good and bad. Like, my girlfriend's an accountant, so she's like, don't get loans out because it's not good. But then it's like, you're investing your own money, your own personal money, which is kind of risky. But I never scaled too fast that I couldn't afford stuff. I never made a loss in the 6 years I'm here. So
it's quite a testament to be able to say
exactly,
that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's like, I'm not stupid. I know how to make money, but also as well, I know how to kind of take risks. They have to be good risks, you know, not stupid risks.
That's an interesting point. I think I talked about that last week. Risk. So how do you approach risk? What's your attitude towards taking it, and how do you eliminate the downside?
You need to run different scenarios over and over and see what works. Like, at the moment, we're going from, say, a personal training gym to a classes style gym. Two totally different things. One is like, one person's paying $400 to $600 a month for personal training with one trainer, whereas now it's going to be essentially someone books a space or a space in a class in either the rooms here in Baggot Street or the boxing classes in Leeson Street. That's a totally different style of what I want to do, but I think I know people well enough to know it's what they want. So the real, like, it's not like I'm just doing it going, Jesus, I think this is a really good idea, it'll make me loads of money, let's just do it. No, like, I know everyone's booking on apps, everyone's booking Deliveroo, everyone's booking on, you know, all these kind of things, and they want their training to be the same way. They want flexibility of booking, they want cheap enough, they want price kind of comparison to an extent, and they want the biggest commodity people have now is their time, and they don't have time, or they think they don't have time. So it's like, you want to have a product which is so flexible that they find it perfect to use, you know? And that's why I think personal training has, there's a flaw in it.
Okay, so that's an interesting topic. Just maybe explain what your current or old model was with Zest, and then just kind of step through what you're now moving into.
So my new model, my old model, sorry, would be someone would come in by 8 sessions. They would use the sessions within a 4-week period, and you have to make sure they complete the sessions. So for example, if someone does 8 sessions, they have to do 2 sessions a week. The downside to that is I'm setting my time for not a lot of money. So the new model is going to be I'm setting a membership. So instead of getting someone into the classes, it's up to them to book. So my perfect scenario for this new style of membership would be, again, obviously I want people to train, but my perfect style would be, or my perfect scenario would be someone buys a membership, 100 people buy a membership, and none of them turn up. Why? Because my overheads are low. I don't have to work. I can go home and stay in bed and drink beer in bed or eat a burrito in bed, whatever I want to do. And then I make money. I make profit. That's perfect scenario. As opposed to the current one, which is I have to physically be here to train people. That's the difference between the two.
Are you seeing a trend away from personal training? Are you seeing a trend away from what people want?
No. I think people still personal train, but it's like you're kind of flogging a dead horse. And the people who are still pushing it are ignorant. And they also think, oh, what's the best way to do it? It's like, it's kind of like, you know, people, a lot of people don't see these things. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm looking at trends. I'm looking at what people want to do, and I'm asking the questions. Like, I'm making good money personal training. I'm making over, you know, 130 grand a year personal training. But I'm risking it for something which is going to give me more freedom. I can spend more time with my girlfriend. I can take more holidays, and I'll hopefully make more money out of it. But I think it's also a better product for people. It's a better fit for people. Like, personal training is good, but it's like, the reason people want personal training is it's private. They get expert tuition and they kind of stick to a goal. That's all wank. It is. Because people don't stick to goals. They don't stick to any of this stuff. They don't want that anymore. They want, instead of booking in a two o'clock session today and they can't turn up because they have a meeting last minute, they want the flexibility. People are willing to give up privacy and space for flexibility now, which they were never able to do or never wanted to do before.
Interesting. And that's a macro thing, I think. That's whatever, you know, it's driven by a lot of different factors, is it?
Not like just... I train people who are, you know, LinkedIners, Googlers, that kind of thing, and the amount of times we get a message 10 minutes before a session, well, I can't make a set, can't make it today, charge me for the session. So I'm sitting up in the room for 45 minutes. I get paid, you know, 50 quid or 55 quid for that one session. Whereas the reality is, it's like they've lost out on the money and I've lost out on the potential to get people into that space. Okay. That's the way I think about it. So if I had a booking system and if I had a business where it was like more flexible, it would suit them better because they get more sessions in. It'd be cheaper for them because they're not booking a specific time. They're getting a membership which allows them to book a time. But because it's less private and there's kind of more variables involved, it's a cheaper product. So it's like it's cheaper than private one-to-one training.
We meet up quite a bit, and every single time weekly. We meet up, I would describe you as kind of relentless. Every time we meet up, you're constantly moving.
You can't see, but I'm touching Gary's leg right now in an affectionate manner.
That's deep. You are constantly changing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're constantly breaking apart what you're currently doing, which is a very, very, very successful business. What drives that?
Probably want to be better than everybody else. I don't want mediocrity. Like it's like the same reason I'm getting new equipment in here the whole time and painting the place and come up with like putting my social media on. I don't want to be the best at what I do. I want people to turn around and go, yeah, that guy's excellent, he's brilliant. I want to be better than other trainers. I want to have the best gym, and I want to, yeah, that's it, that's the reason. I want to be the best at it.
It's interesting. Yesterday I listened to the Kevin Hart interview on Joe Rogan.
I didn't hear that. Was it good?
Oh, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. His ambition and his relentlessness and just his energy.
Yeah.
It's something you can't fake. And you see that in so few.
You're talking about Joe Rogan or Kevin Hart? Kevin Hart. But he's super successful. He's like one of the most, he's made more money, I think, than any other comedian ever.
It's phenomenal. Just the way he breaks it down. And you think of him as, oh, you know, the comedian, the funny guy.
The Joker.
Mm-hmm. But like his thought process, but just his mentality was, as an entrepreneur, it's worthwhile to listen to. So the next stage then is launch. So I suppose this is perfect timing really for you because you're launching something new.
Yeah.
But step back to Zest first. So you've just taken your room.
Yeah.
It's empty. First of all, how did you decide how you're going to spec that out?
Yeah.
And secondly, how did you get your first customer to come up and go, yeah, this guy seems good?
The way I spec'd out my room was I had a way I wanted to train myself. I wasn't necessarily asking people questions, going, you know, what do you want? Because people don't know what they want in a gym. It's like, I had a guy come in here one day, he's like a really high up in finance in Ireland. He's like, he's one of the big dogs. And he's about 50, 55 years of age, comes into me and he's like, I don't know what any of this stuff is. And people are petrified. They don't know what kettlebells are. They don't know what dumbbells are. So there's no point in like doing something which is going to please people. because they don't know what it is anyway. I turned around to him and I was like, see that there, that's like where I hang the sex swing. And he started laughing and I was like, okay, so now he's like a little bit more comfortable. But when people come in here, they're like, they're genuinely petrified. They don't know what any of the stuff is and they kind of don't care. They want to get a good workout and go home. And I get that.
So that's how you spec'd it out. But
yeah, I did what I wanted to do.
No one knew you, I would imagine. Yeah. You've got a boot camp, but no one really knew you maybe in the area. Yeah. How did you get the first person? So Monday morning, you have a whole week of empty slots. How did you fill them?
I didn't for the first probably week. So my overheads here were probably about $550 a month rent. It was very, very cheap at the time. So I had a sign outside the door, and I thought to myself, this is great. I have a little sign outside the door, like 1 foot by half a foot. Everyone's going to come in. Everyone's going to see the place, and I'm going to spend loads of money. It didn't happen.
What year was this?
6.5 years ago. Okay. 6 years ago. And I thought it's going to be great. And then I realized you actually have to stand outside the door and hand out flyers and go to local businesses. And that's what I did. And then got on some people in local businesses. They came in, they trained, they enjoyed it. It was kind of like functional training, to be honest. It was like a lot of kettlebells, ropes, all that kind of stuff. Before it was even mainstream, I was doing that stuff. Hammers off a tire, mad stuff. Kickboxing with pads and tie pads, which is like huge now. Mm. Doing that 6 years ago. And
so you went B2B, you went door to door, literally
did everything door to door, called into, you know, Tolteca down the road, called into the barbers, dropped in flyers, told them I trained them for free if they passed me on people and referrals. And then I eventually got a guy, do you remember Panos? He was in The Apprentice, great guy. He was one of my very first clients, and then he worked in Google at the time, gifted a gab, that guy has. So as soon as I got him, I was doing a good job with him and he was getting into great shape, everyone else saw this and he referred on people to me and I got loads of referrals. And then all of a sudden I wasn't really doing much marketing, I was just doing referrals, which was great. Okay. You know? And then I became booked out. My idea in my head was 40 sessions a week, 8 a day, 5 days a week, 40 a week. And then there became a point where I was getting more demand, so I got another room, got another trainer. And that was my business. It was just, so all of a sudden was not just me, but I was a personal training business where we just personal train people, and I had numerous trainers, which I was passing clients off to.
And how did you go from one to two? I think that's always the hardest part for any business.
I happened to be in a building where it was pretty much empty. So, and I liked the landlord, he liked me. So I just made him a deal on two rooms. Then I got three rooms and I got three trainers and just kept on expanding from there. But the problem was with that was very, very money intensive at the start. You know, you just go and buy a room like this, is like $8,000. It's okay. Expensive to put flooring down and rigs and all that kind of stuff. So looking back now, I probably put too much money into it. I knew I had an idea in my head of what I wanted to do, and I had an idea in my head of how I wanted it equipment wise. Like every room has to have a set of dumbbells, and every room has to have this and have that. It was super expensive, you know. It was too much money.
What was the hardest thing of going from just you and yourself in the room, your full control over everything you do?
Yeah.
What was the hardest part then of trusting other people to come on board and, you know, setting up the next rooms? What was the difficulty there?
Quality control, probably. Making sure people are doing what they're meant to be doing. Body fat testing, making sure they're doing the weigh-ins, making sure they turn up on time, making sure they do a good, tough session, all that kind of stuff, you know? Yeah.
And how did you put, we talked about it earlier, but how did you put systems in place to help that along?
It was hard at the start because it was like Excel spreadsheets, weekly meetings, all this kind of stuff, just chatting to people. Whereas now it's like, it's so much easier in 2019 because you have, you know, you can automate stuff. Like I can literally manage my gym here without meeting anybody, and they can get messages going out from me week to week on the email. So it's like, you have these computer online systems now and software is where you pay money every month and you can just communicate with people straight away. You didn't have that 6 years ago.
Mm.
Like even if you have a WhatsApp group, you get WhatsApp every single week. It's like, it's free. It's amazing.
You're in the middle, right? So we're still at stage four of the launch. Mm. So you launched 6.5 years ago, your first business. You're now launching your second one.
Yeah.
And we'll plug that now in a second. But how does it differ? What's changed in those 6.5 years by launching a business?
Like if you build a boxing room now, or if you build like the new one's a boxing gym, it's just a physical room. It's kind of like, well, first of all, I think people have higher standards. It's like, as opposed to years ago where you would compare yourself to gyms in Dublin. People look online now and they see gyms in New York, they see gyms in London, they see gyms in Sydney, and it's like going, oh my god, this is much nicer than the gym I'm in. It's like you're
the Instagram
really,
effect.
Yeah, you're competing with gyms across the world. Like the one in Leeson Street, I consider it's like a boxing gym similar to like Kobox or Rumble Boxing. And I've taken inspiration from both of those gyms, which I think are really great. But I've also added my own little twist and some things which I think are better than those gyms, which hopefully if people are training those gyms, they'll kind of pick up on, you know. But there's upsides and downsides to all these things. Like you have Instagram, which is like, it's great because it'll promote your business. The downside is you're looking at 20 million other gyms and going, is this better or worse? Like Facebook marketing, Google marketing, all that is changing all the time as well. So that's like, it's super hard to stay on top of that in a world where people are saturated with ads constantly. To try and get someone to actually even look at your ad, not even buy stuff, but just look at your ad, is incredibly hard, you know? So sometimes old school and just calling into someone's business and saying hello is a really cool, different thing that people just aren't doing anymore.
So the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the more everybody goes online and starts marketing is when you need to come off online and just go in and chat to them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, at the minute,
everything does a 360 though, you know, everything does.
You nearly feel overwhelmed though.
Yeah.
At the minute, I find there's just so much, like you say, there's just so much choice. You go online to look for anything and you are just...
Facebook really annoys me now. You can't watch a video without an ad popping up halfway through it. You can't even watch a minute video without something coming up.
On Facebook.
Yeah. So much so that I don't look at videos anymore.
Well, you know what's coming, so you just go, I actually go find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'll often like just pop off
YouTube.
Go on YouTube and look at it there.
But it's just like Facebook is getting really stupid now. Like when I started off, I used to be like, I'm going to put up an ad, you know, are you a female in Dublin who wants to lose weight, drop 10 stone? And you can't do that anymore. You need to be so much more subtle. Drop a dress size. Do you want to get fitter? Do you want to, you probably actually can't even say fitter in this day and age. You have to like be so subtle with your marketing.
Okay.
You can't say stuff which people are kind of used to, like the buzzwords, lose weight, toning, fit, feel better. You can't say any of that because it's not supported by what you're doing.
Okay, so
it's possibly hard. You're trying to sell something without selling it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So offline is now becoming more important.
Yeah.
Again, traditional media.
Yeah. Flyers.
Flyers.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So stage five then is testing and analysis. So we touched on that a little bit already, but how do you know when it's working? Obviously money coming in is
money.
Good, but how do you track that though? What systems do you
use? I use Stripe. I use a Glowfox booking system. So that's embedded on my website. So people can come in, book a session on the app, book it straight away. Like I got people who book classes and I've never even met them. They just turn up in the gym. They pay online. They book the session. They come in and it's like, oh, nice to meet you. And it's like, that would never have happened 5 years ago.
Okay.
They'll spend their money a lot easier now. I mean that in the sense of, they are so used to paying online. Everything's online now. Everything's pay online. Everything's an app. Everything's, you know, I'll book it and get it straight away. And it's like so much easier if you have an online product which you're selling well.
And has that influenced your thoughts on the new business? Is that
100%. Like my old way, for example, would be now PT sessions. I'd message my clients on a Sunday going, hey, what days are we doing this week? And I'll book in like Monday, Wednesday. Whereas now it's like I'm not messaging anyone ever again. It's like I'm taking myself out of the business. They can book on the app. And if they book in, fine. If they don't book in, I get some time off. Because I've got monthly renewals coming in, so that's totally fine with me. So that's the difference.
So you're changing to a subscription model from...
Yeah.
Okay, and how do you run your business? Like, how do you track what's happening in your business? Like, you're only one guy, you know, you have maybe four or five rooms, you have two different locations now. How do you manage your time to know where you should be? How do you track your week?
I use Google Calendar to plan my time. So I usually work in the mornings from 7 to 9. Daytime from like 12 to 1 and then evening from 5 to like 9 I'm in the gym, and then around that I have everything time booked out on my Google calendar. So I get a pop up at 10 o'clock on check your Google ads, 10:30 check, you know, your invoicing for customers, 11 o'clock check your Stripe. I've sat down and thought about it, going, this is what I need to do, this is the kind of the priority list of it, and everything's done systematically from my Google Calendar every single day.
That's
if it's not on the Google Calendar, I don't do it.
I have the exact same. Yeah, if it's not on the Google Calendar, it didn't happen. So
yeah.
You put in not just meetings, you put in everything you have to do within your calendar. That's like your task manager.
Yeah, it's recurring, exactly. My weekly to-do list is recurring, and I have also a to-do list called, but I think it's called Todoist.
Yeah.
So I work off that as well, and I have sets up again pop-ups and reminders during the day just to remind me to do stuff. So
you're constantly on the move.
What's
the hardest part about your business in terms of keeping it on the road? Like, what's the most difficult challenge you face now?
At the moment, it's going to be getting people to book. So it's like, it's communication, I suppose. Someone goes onto your website, you understand how the gym works, where it is, what's going on in it. They make sure they're like buying a classes thing, a package. They know how to book in the class. They know how to get here. When they get here, they know how to get in the door. How to actually do the work. Like, you know, it's like there's a million different things, but it all comes down to communication. Do they know what they're doing, where they're meant to be doing it, when they're meant to be doing it? And that's it, you know? The money's kind of, it's not that it's secondary, but it's just like, if people understand the process and what they're doing, they'll buy it over and over and over again once they like it. If you in any way are unsure of what you're selling, or where to set it or any of like the points on it. Like the reason I know this is because I updated the website there a week ago onto what I thought was correct, and then I had people sending me like, you know, chats on the website going, hey, not really sure what the prices are, not really sure what you're offering. And then when I go and look at it, I think it's crystal clear in my head, but it's really not. The
fact that it's so well.
So the fact that somebody goes, I actually don't know what you're doing, means I need to actually take a step back and go, right. And that's why I was spending an hour or 2 hours this morning just literally updating the membership page on my website, just with the prices and going, this is what you get. These are the terms and conditions. So I don't want someone to buy the membership and then go 2 weeks later, oh, this isn't really what I thought it was. It's like, well, unfortunately, you tick something which saying you agree to the T's and C's. So good luck.
I think we talked about it previously before we went on air in terms of gyms and PTs, particularly being notoriously bad with their online presence.
Yeah.
There's still,
and the communication as well.
Yeah, there's still a couple of gyms in Dublin that don't put up the prices.
Yeah.
Or call for a consultation.
Yeah.
I don't think in this day and age anybody is going
to
do
like,
that.
I'm sure maybe people will, but you need to look at who's not doing it. It's like if you're selling 1,000 a month, it's like, yeah, well done, we did 1,000 this month. You might have 2,000 who aren't though. It's like people don't want that anymore. It's kind of like they've been lied to. And it's not like they're actually physically lying to them, but you're omitting the information. It's like people want to go onto a website and know how much it is, when the classes are on, they want to see a timetable, they want to see how they book, and that's that. It needs to be transparent. Like all, like literally everything on my T's and C's page is like, it's non-refundable, it's non-transferable. It's like if you don't turn up to the class twice in a week, you get a strike against you. A strike means you can't book for the following week because you're holding up a spot for someone else. It's like people need to understand exactly what the repercussions are of what they're getting. You know, it needs to be transparent, 100%.
You've built up quite a large social following. So I put it up yesterday that you were going to do the podcast, and a chap, a friend of mine who's just literally qualifying as a PT, he wanted to know, how do you build an initially following? So starting from zero, how do you...
I would say, first of all, get started. People think that when they do it, they think, oh, well, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to get that, or I'm going to get 10,000 followers. Like the amount of young lads who are like, I'm at 10K followers, I'm at 15K followers. Yeah, but you make like fucking 100 euro a week and you're in your dad's basement. It's like, it means nothing. It's not real life. It's just not. If your goal is on following and not quality, you're never going to go anywhere. As a personal trainer, you should be putting up content that's helping someone. You should be honest. You should talk about your own experiences, if they're good or bad. Bad is also good. You know, you need to talk about what you struggle with, because people probably struggle with the same thing. It needs to be relevant. If you're a personal trainer, you want to talk about, you know, are you overweight and you want to lose weight? Do you suffer from a sore back? Do you have neck pain when you're looking at your phone? It's like, do you struggle sticking to your diet? I do. It's like, no one gives a shit about your abs. No one cares about the top of selfie. No one cares about how many followers you have. It's like, they care about their own self and they care about their own problems. Like, these are, like, when you're getting into PT, you're getting in there to train people. You're not getting in there to show your own deadlift or your own topless photo. Like, I do a personal training kind of course thing as well called the Apex Academy. And I think a lot of people are oblivious to what they're doing or how badly they're doing. Like, they could be personal training every week. Oh, yeah, I am a personal trainer. It's like, you're making about 300 quid a week or 400 quid a week, and you're literally making no money, and you're working crazy hours, which are unsociable hours, and they're kind of like a slave to the business. But they're doing it totally wrong. They're not stepping back and looking, going, is this a good business model? Is this a bad business model? Putting up the same crappy content over and over again, expecting different results. And it's just like, I think personal trainers as people are kind of a bit moronic. I've always said that. I've always said that, and some people are going to go, well, you're a personal trainer. It's like, I am, but I understand the game. The game is, you're in the game of helping people. You're helping them. You're not helping yourself. So why would you put up a picture of you with your abs? Why would you put a picture of you doing a 200 kilo deadlift? You can't help some 50-year-old guy in an office who's self-conscious about going to the gym. That doesn't help him. It's not going to sell your product.
When you're starting off as a PT, what are the most important, you know, your first year?
Yeah.
How should that look for you if you're just, you literally just qualified? So this chapter is literally just done as qualifications.
You just decide, first of all, I think, what you want to do. Because I think when people get into personal training, they're like, oh, I'll be an online coach. Again, there's feck all money in that unless you're good at it. I'll work as a gym and a personal trainer. The reality is the hours are crap. You're working peak times, which are 7 in the morning till 8:30 because people are at work, or 6 in the evening until after that. So if you want a social life, it's not going to happen. If you want to have a time where you get to sit down every day and chill out with your mates, you won't, because when you're chilling out during the day, they're at work. So it's a really solitary, hard life. And the hours are crap. The money's probably not great if you're selling your time for money, which most personal trainers are. So fundamentally, it's a bit of a shitty business, and it's a shitty fundamental. Like, it's a flawed business model.
So what would you advise him to do? he's already
moving to classes.
Yeah. So but how do you
look, I would say don't be a personal trainer. I would say don't do a job where the maximum you can do is sell 1 hour of your time for 40 or 50 quid, but it has to be 40 or 50 quid because that's the market value. So look at what can you do. You could do private I'd say look at doing semi-private training, which is 2 or 3 people, or classes, because it's more money. Sell a membership based thing, a subscription based thing.
Okay, that's probably good advice.
Yeah,
and you know, social is a huge part of every business.
Yeah,
but it seems to me more important for PTs. You touched on it there, you know, share your journey.
Yeah,
you put out a huge amount of content. What drives that?
Wanting to help people, wanting to get people to change their habits, and being there myself and being like an overweight teen. I wasn't always the Adonis you see before you, Gary.
I'll put a photo up in the show notes. We'll do it before and after.
the before was like a potato with some ears. I was shapeless like a ball, and I went to the gym and I fell in love with it, and I was like, this is actually quite easy. But then you have to kind of fall in love with the process and the kind of things that go along with it. So when I have someone come into me now and they're like, oh, I'm in the gym and someone's staring at me, oh, I'm in the gym and I can't lose weight, oh, I'm in the gym and I have no motivation, it's like, I've got answers to all those problems. And that's my business. My business isn't necessarily like personal training or classes. It's like, I know how to solve these problems, which is, can't go to the gym twice a week, I will WhatsApp you to the point where you come training. I don't know how to do a food plan, I will get you a food plan and WhatsApp you and make sure you stick to it every single day. People like, it's problem solving. It has to be. Everyone has the same problems. Everyone wants to look better naked. They want to be sexier to the opposite sex or same sex, whatever way you're inclined. And they want to like not feel like shit. So it's got to do with arms or biceps or abs. It's like we want to be the best versions of ourselves. We want to feel good. It's a natural thing.
Very simple.
Yeah, it is. Like when guys go to a nightclub, they want to wear a tight t-shirt, be confident, and have women going, geez, your man's in great shape. He's sexy. It's what guys want. I've noticed, I haven't mentioned anything there about deadlifts or squats or bicep curls or any of that, because nobody cares. They want to look good naked. This is like fundamentally, physiologically, historically why we do this.
It's because we want to attract the episode right there.
We want to attract a partner, a sex partner. That's why we do this.
But
the amount of people who I've trained who will turn around and go, Jesus, my wife won't, like, we've had more sex than ever before. And it's like, yeah, it's true, though. But you're not coming here to, like, get arms or get a deadlift. I want you to have a good deadlift, but you want to have a good relationship with your wife. Like, that's why you're coming here, you know?
And we've talked about this privately before, you know, the frustrations you have as a trainer. How, you can't force people to come.
No.
So how do you get people from filling out an online form to actually 6 to 12 months later? There must be quite a drop off. So how do you help people along on that?
You get them to kind of buy into what you're doing. You get them to understand. You're kind of asking probing questions.
Okay.
It's like when someone's like, you know, did you stick to your food plan? No, I didn't stick to what went out. What did you eat when you went out? Why did you do this? It generally comes back to a feeling, why they feel a certain way. It's like you're not going to go home and eat loads of shit unless you're tired, anxious, or you've had like a really tough day. It's like emotional eating. It's like when you go to the cinema. Why do you eat popcorn? Because it's, you know, it's, you're in the cinema. Why when you're in the office and everyone's eating birthday cake, are you eating birthday cake? Because it's pressure on you. Because like a societal pressure, because everyone's doing it. Yeah. So it's like the reality is, you know what you should be eating. You know if someone puts a salad or a Big Mac in front of you, what's better and what's worse. But it's trying to figure out why we do what we do. It's kind of like breaking these habits and changing people's mindset as to what they should be doing. And then once someone actually enjoys, like I've had many people I had saying, I'll give this about a month because, you know, I just never really enjoyed the gym. And those people are here 6 months now because I know how to treat them a certain way. And they know when they come here now that they're not going to feel like shit because they probably did maybe once in a gym before, and it stopped them from going to the gym ever since. So it's about finding someone's like why they're here and what they want to do. And then just keep reinforcing that over and over and over
again.
That's
an interesting one, finding their why. What's their reason? Yeah. So it's more like, it's almost a psychological job.
It's mostly psychological.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's like when someone comes in, they go, they want to get biceps. Why? Well, you know, I just think if I had biceps, I'd be a little bit happier. Why? Well, if I had bigger biceps, I'd probably like, you know, probably get more dates and probably meet more girls. Why? Well, I've been single for a while. Why? Oh, I was with this girl years ago and she dumped me. There you go. You felt like a piece of shit. But that's it though. It's a probing question.
Right.
And you're breaking down to the very fundamental thing of this is why you feel like shit. And there's always a catalyst as to why that happens. You know, sorry, spat your mic there. There's always a catalyst as to why this happens, you know?
Okay. So stage 6 is failing, scaling, or selling.
Yeah.
So have any businesses failed or any ideas you've tried to implement?
Spartan Training and Fitness didn't fail. I just kind of shut that down because like I could have kept on pushing it, but I was like, there needs to be a certain point where I stop it, and I stopped it.
Just on that point, before you go any further, that's a very difficult decision to make. How did you know it was time to stop that and move on?
It's too time intensive, too labor intensive. I was getting people to come week to week, but it wasn't enough. And it's like the gym on, it's like the gym in Leeson Street. I was doing private personal training there up until a month ago, and now I have, like, it's nearly empty this week, and I'm doing like a boxing gym. But like, I'm more excited about that than I was, because I think sometimes you lose the passion for what you're doing. Sometimes what you're doing becomes a bit diluted over time, and you're kind of like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, my standards in Leeson Street were not the way I wanted it to be.
Okay.
The way people were being trained weren't the way I wanted them to be trained. So rather than do that and make money, I chose to just strip it all back and go, this is what I'm going to do going forward, because I'm passionate about it and I feel good and I want people to get the service which I think they deserve, and they weren't getting it before that.
Often people can become emotionally attached to the business.
I'm the most unemotional person you'll ever meet. My girlfriend says it.
That's definitely true.
In a good way. It's like, if you turn around to me and are like, right, I'm personal training with you, James, 6 months now, and I just don't feel I'm getting the results, I'm going to turn around and go, oh, that's devastating. I'll go, well, I'm sorry you didn't get that, but if you give me another few weeks, I'm hoping I can fulfill like my obligation to you, and we'll keep moving forward together as a team. And it's like, there's no emotion in any of this. There shouldn't be. Like, I said to my girlfriend that I was going to close the gym in Leeson Street and I was going to move to a boxing gym, and she's like, you know, geez, you made that decision very fast. It's like, but it's not an emotional decision, it's a business decision. Like, none of this should be emotional. Like, if I have to leave, get up here and leave here tomorrow and leave the signs here and fucking sell all the equipment and move on to other stuff, it's like, it's been a good time, it's been a good ride, but I'm not going to go, oh, I really wish I had that, because it's in the past.
That's very rare, though. I mean, I think a lot of businesses fail because of the emotional attachment. You just cling on too long.
Yeah.
Is that a learned behavior, or is that something that's been in you?
It's a learned behavior. It's like, I read a lot of books and I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of Tony Robbins. Like, every morning when I'm coming into work, I listen to Tony Robbins every single day. I chant during the day. I breathe heavily during the day. I kind of keep, basically what I do in the morning is I listen to my Tony Robbins, and then daytime I listen to some, it's kind of like meditation music, and I keep saying over and over and over again, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, for about like 5 minutes. To the point where my day is amazing and I can do this. It's like a default setting. It's like, I was talking to a guy earlier on, and he's having a really tough time. I train him at the moment, and I was just like checking in on him, seeing how he's getting on. He's doing grand. He's like, how are you? And I'm like, amazing. He's like, you always say that to me. I'm like, even if I am or I am, and if I think I am, I will be.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, no one wants to hear.
Yeah, no one wants to have the coach who's a moany bastard. No. Yeah. You want someone who's amazing but can also inspire other people to do amazing things. No emotion with you. Like, good emotion, granted, you have to have emotion, but it has to be good emotion. You can't be like, you can't be emotional about the losses. You can learn from them, but you can't, like,
it's business, not personal.
It can't hold you back. Like, it can't be the point where, Jesus, I wish I'd, like I've got friends who probably shouldn't be saying this, but they live in the past, and I know they live in the past because they always bring up previous jobs from like 10 years ago. It's like, oh, well, I did this and it was great. It's like, you're talking to something you did 10 years ago. Like,
in terms of their emotionally looking back at roasting glasses, as opposed to, oh, now it's terrible, back then was great.
Yeah, but also as well, looking back going, like, you're kind of like, you get this idea that they're just going, God, I really wish I was living back then. Or they were, like, they had important jobs and they were doing stuff and they're not important now. And they're like, oh, I kind of wish I was back then. Whereas the reality is that's done, like.
So just to touch, that's an interesting thing there you've said about, you know, your learned behavior. So you study, are they audiobooks? Are they podcasts in the morning?
Both.
What are they?
Yeah, mostly I just listen to Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins has like a 7-step thing, and I listen to that like ad nauseum over and over and over.
What's that called?
I don't know, it's on Spotify. It's okay. Like 7
I might
steps.
Get you to send that to me. We'll put it in the show notes.
My girlfriend thinks she hates it. Like, I picked her up the other day and I had her on the car, and she's like, oh, not this crap again. I'm like, genuinely, sometimes if I have a shitty day, I put Tony Robbins on, I can turn around and go, no, I'm back to being bulletproof again. We're entitled to all have shitty days, let's face it. We all have them. And I've had, not shitty days, but I've had long days, and it grinds on you. It's mentally and physically and emotionally fatiguing. But then when I can come out of work, and if I have something which can make me go straight away, geez, I feel great again, I'm going to do that, not being drugs or alcohol. So it's like, you put this on for 5 minutes in your head and your mindset's changed back to, yeah, I'm good to go again.
Everyone needs that thing, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Needs that little
but
thing
most people don't do that. Most people struggle with their day-to-day. Most people hate their job. Most people probably aren't in shape, or they want to be in shape, but they don't know how. And it's like, they don't have these like little triggers to make them do stuff. You need to have triggers to do stuff. You need to be motivated every day in order to do great things, you know?
Well, I think you talked about it there earlier. You hit the nail on the head, default mechanisms in terms of, eating what everyone else is eating, doing what everyone else is doing. I think it's harder to go against the stream and go, well, no, I'm actually going to chant, I'm going to do meditation, I'm going to do yoga, I'm going to do whatever it is for me.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to go along with what is there because no one wants to stand out from the crowd, really.
Yeah, but the reality is I don't care about what anyone says. I don't care about my family and I care about what my girlfriend says. I don't really care about what anyone else says. I really don't. Like, if I do kickboxing and I do K1, and the amount of times I have, like, you know, a black eye, or you know, because you do it yourself, and people are like, you know, should you really be doing that? Oh, like, you can barely walk today, should you be doing that?
Yeah.
You have a black eye again, should you be doing that? And it's like, yeah, I should be, because I don't care enough about what other people say. They're sitting at their 9-to-5 jobs doing nothing with their lives, not making an impact on anybody.
But everyone cares, so that's definitely something you've learned. That's definitely, yeah, because it is, I think as an entrepreneur as well, it is something that you have to become almost immune to.
Yeah.
Because if you did listen to people going,
yeah, I'd still be back and working back in the insurance job.
Is that going to work?
Yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know what's going to work. You could open the gym, no one could have come to the door for 2 months.
But you're hoping that you work so hard that they will, and you're hoping that you care enough that they will, and you're hoping that when you put up Instagram videos that they will go, this guy seems like a nice guy, he's not Ben Dunn who's take that, Jackie Skellies. When you, as opposed to me bad mouthing another gym, which Ben is doing, I'm turning around going, I'll help you,
yeah,
because I know, because I was there. But if you come in and spend a bit of money, I will show you how to get from A to B, which is what you want to do.
And then scaling and selling, so you've done both.
Yeah.
You're scaling up now.
Yeah.
So how did you take that process? Like, how did you keep growing? I think we touched on this a little bit earlier,
yeah,
but how do you...
Grower, not a shower. I think I was growing, but I wasn't really showing. I think I was growing, but I was growing the wrong way. Yeah, I was always growing, but in the wrong way. So I got into a thing where I was like, I'm a PT, and then I had another room, then another room, then another room. And before I realized that, I had like my busiest time was probably like 9 or 10 trainers, and it was all like private personal training. And it was cool because I was making loads of money. And then when I look back at it, I'm looking at going, that was so stupid, because I was scaling the wrong way. I was scaling every time I wanted to take on a new client, I had to take on new trainers, as opposed to going the current way, which is like a membership way, which is phenomenal. I was scaling the wrong way. But it should be a natural progression. I don't understand these gyms where it's like, oh, like I see them the whole time online where it's like, personal trainer in Dublin, he's opened his second location in a year. It's like, that's fucking retarded, because you're doubling your liabilities.
Mm.
And it's like, you don't have the experience after a year to know how to manage two businesses and two facilities. I've had good times. I've also had a lot of crappy times. But it's like, you learn from the bad times what to do and what not to do, and you don't get that experience in a year. And everyone always thinks, when I have one premises, I'll make money. If I have two, I'll double the money. If I have three, I'll treble the money. It doesn't work like that. Because you need to get treble the people in, but your cost price is probably still the same, which is your outgoing, your liability.
Yeah, I think we've both learned that in the last couple of years. It gets to a point whereby more money, more problems.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where, like, yes, the more you expand, the more staff you need.
Yep.
The more insurance, the more...
More brain damage.
Overheads,
yeah.
More everything.
Yeah.
So it does come. So you scaled. How did you learn to scale the right way then? Did you have to do it the wrong way first?
Yeah, I had to do it the wrong way first, because I like to learn from my mistakes and just generally waste loads of my own money. I thought after a while, I'm sick of paying personal trainers to do the job, where I can probably do the job better myself, or I don't need personal trainers. So I will, like, for example, one of the rooms upstairs, my old idea was to have a personal trainer paying them, you know, $1,000 a week or 800 quid a week and have them doing personal training sessions. Whereas now I have loads of bikes and some rowers, and the trainer, there's not gonna be any personal trainer in that room. So I haven't necessarily bought any new equipment. I've moved some of the equipment from other rooms into this room to create a cardio room, but then I've cut out the overhead, which is the trainer. So I've created a cardio room. Go and use the cardio room. And the workouts will be on YouTube. So it's like, I've cut out the overhead cost, and I'm training and working on it a little bit smarter now, that it's like, I don't need to, every time I do something, get a trainer in there to do it. I'm thinking of, what's the best way I can do this to kind of do it free or cheap? And then if I have to pay someone to do it, I'll pay someone to do it.
What do you use to learn? Like, in terms of, do you go to seminars, books, YouTube? How do you learn about your business?
I look at what other people are doing. I break that down. I always break these things down. It's kind of like, for example, right, I was looking at, because we're going to be doing classes now, there's another local gym here who do classes only. So I look at what their prices are, and it's like, you know, €99 unlimited classes for the month. I'm like, that's pretty cheap. because if you get 10 classes in a month, it's a tenner class, which is quite cheap for the area you're in. Like, I'm like, first of all, going right, their overheads is going to be rent, $2,000 a month. Rates could be, you know, $500, electricity, $300, paying trainers, $1,000 a month. Straight away, you're up at $4,000, $4,500. I'm like, oh, you just had a hell of a lot of $100 memberships in a room which only allows you to have 7 people at a time to get to that point. So I've already added that in my head. Looking from one video on their social media, I'm looking at, they have 6 people in that room. It's not a very big room, so that's kind of capacity. It's $100 per person. So I'm like, if they're making 100, if they're getting 100 people to buy $100 membership a month, that's $10,000. Of that $10,000, their outgoing is going to be nearly half that, including fees and all that. So they're making $5,000 a month. So multiplied by 12, that's $60,000 a year. It's bollocks. It's shit. Like, that's literally how my brain works. I'll turn around and go, Fit Vision around the corner. Met Mark yesterday. Really nice guy. He's doing corporate stuff now. And mostly corporate stuff, not necessarily personal training. So I'll turn around and go, I would have considered them competition 2-3 years ago for like personal training or classes. They're mostly doing corporate stuff now. They're kind of out of the picture. Who else is around the corner? Another gym up the road. Right there doing personal training. They're in my category. They're on my radar. They're offering the same price, the same thing. They're my direct competition. And it's like, that's how my brain works. I look at the videos of what the other personal trainers are doing online. I want to see how their room works. I want to see how big it is. I want to see in their video how many people are in a class. Like, for example, I'm opening a boxing gym. I'm looking at Heaton Boxing Academy going, they have about 20 people in a class. They're charging a tenner a head. That's $200 for 45 minutes work. They have three or four trainers working at a time. So all of that $200, you know, they're paying a trainer $20. $80 of that's going for trainer fees. So it's $120 per, you know, 40 minute session. And I'm looking at their space going, they could double that, they could treble that, because they have loads of boxing bags. Boxing bags take up space and they're expensive. Get people doing bodyweight stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's how my brain works. I want to break it to everything down, going, you know, when people, this gym is doing really well, check it out. They're not doing fucking well. They think they're doing well. Oh, he has loads of people in the class. Yeah, but people are paying $5 a class. It's like, I'm breaking all this down, going size of the space versus the amount of people they have there versus the cost of the thing versus, like, you know, if you've got VAT and costs and all this stuff on top, it's like your overhead, your incomings are getting smaller bloody day by day.
Perception versus reality. I think there's a lot of that versus reality.
Yeah. Whereas the reality is I've made loads of money here, and it's like, I think that people don't want what I'm selling anymore. They want a different alternative. They don't want expensive personal training anymore. They want flexibility. They want more classes during the week, and they want a cheaper option. And that's what I'm going to try and offer.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
We'll do two final things. Every week we get someone to recommend a book that they found extremely useful or has made a big difference to you. What book would you recommend?
I would recommend
give away a free copy to someone.
There's one good one called The Culture Code, which has got to, you ever read that?
Code, no.
I'll give you a loan about it. Have it at home. It's basically about how different business owners they manage their businesses. So they have Pixar, they have the Navy SEALs, they have Microsoft, they have all these different guys, and they talk about the culture within a workplace, how you enforce a culture. That's something I've tried to do in here when I had loads of trainers. You know, they all had the Zest branding, they had free t-shirts, they wanted to be here. We'd have a meeting once a week, we'd have a dinner once a month. And it's like, just about the culture and what you want to create. And actually, are you creating? You think you are in your head, but actually, are you creating it? Are you doing what you said you'd do, or are you doing what you wanted to do, you know?
Okay, cool. We'll give away a copy of The Culture Code.
It's very good.
So all someone has to do is leave a review on iTunes or share it on social media. Just make sure to tag us when you're doing it. James, where can people follow you, learn more?
Beatbox Dublin on the L Instagram. Zest Fitness Dublin on the L Instagram. If anyone wants to come and try a class, which is a fun, easy thing, drop me a message on there and they can come in and try it. It'll be a life-changing experience. It has been for many, many before.
Brilliant. On that, James, thank you so much.
And that is episode 9. I hope you enjoyed that chat with James. We'll be back next Thursday at 6 a.m. with a new episode. See you then.